Blog Talk Radio.
This is Colin from Can I Justify. You're rocking Attitude Era Live with Icon, Granny Hawkster, and Big Twin.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday night. We are on 89.1 Kent FM, and you know what that means. It means it's time for Attitude Era Live, and we have all our good friends here with me. Of course, you know I am your host, The Icon, and glad to be with you. And I believe that we have Granny on the line. Hello.
Hello.
And I believe that we have the Modern Nightmare as well. Hello.
Hello.
All right. So we got a big show here. Of course, every show is a big show here on 89.1 Kent FM, live in Fargo, North Dakota. And, of course, Matthias is also in North Dakota, and Granny is in Arkansas. So we're kind of doing a little group chat here for you to entertain the masses. And before we get too far, I'm going to go ahead and let everybody know who our guests are tonight. We have director Hayden Newman. We have Diana Carter. And we also have Ryan Rhino Michaels. And he's a big, big 6'5" dude. And he's going to tell us what he's all about coming up in the second hour. So be ready for that. Granny, what was your week like? How was Thanksgiving, and did you do anything special?
No, it was just really quiet. I mean, we did go to Kansas and see my mom from the early Thanksgiving, and then David and I went to this church in Rogers, Arkansas, on Thanksgiving Day, and they served turkey and ham and chicken and pulled pork and ribs, and they had salmon. I mean, it was just phenomenal. And I mean, salad, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, stuffing, cranberry sauce, you know, plenty of dessert, you know, but it was just a really nice little quiet Thanksgiving. I mean, just nothing spectacular, but.
Well, I'll tell you what, you definitely know that you've made it big when you have salmon for Thanksgiving. How about Matthias, what did you do? Anything special?
I just went home to see the folks for the day, and then Friday I had a wrestling event, and then Saturday I just relaxed and recovered and recuperated from the week, and then started off the week as normal today.
That sounds cool. And basically, let's kind of get everybody up to date on what we have. Today is episode number 295. Which is a milestone when you think about it, since Big Swing and I, Big Swing and his buddy started this show 6 years ago. And, of course, now this is only episode 295 since it became Attitude Era Live. There was, I believe, 400 episodes before that. So we're basically up to episode 900 in this little adventure. And we've grown a lot since we started, and we're going to continue to grow. And the sky is the limit for our show here, as well as everything else that we're doing. I want to let everybody know that the plan is, you know, everybody knows I'm a big Buckeye fan too here, and I'm also a North Dakota State fan. North Dakota State would play the championship on Sunday the 8th, so the plan is if they are in the championship in Frisco, Texas, we would be flying out Saturday night, getting to Texas on Sunday, then flying back after the game, and then, of course, we have the Ohio State Buckeyes. You know, they if they're in the national championship, they would play on the 9th, so the plan is we would not have a show that day. However, since Ohio State did lose to Michigan this last weekend, which was terrible. Whether we have a show on the 9th is up in the air right now, so we'll see what happens. A couple teams need to lose for Ohio State to get that bid for a chance for the championship, but we'll cover that. We got about a month or so left before we got to worry about that. And also, guys, of you guys, between you two, which one of you have seen Back to the Future? Part 2 or 3?
I've seen them.
I've seen them all.
Well, you know, I got some good news. You know who I was able to talk to on the phone this weekend?
Who?
Nope.
The actor who played George McFly in Part 2 and Part 3.
Oh, wow.
He is going to make an appearance on the show, Jeffrey Wiseman. And we're going to have him in the new year. And I figured you guys would be tickled to death about that. And he will tell us all about being in makeup and how they had to make him look like Crispin Glover to be part of the movie. So that's kind of interesting. We got about 10 minutes here before our first guest calls in. So Matthias, you mentioned you had a wrestling match. How did that go?
Not so good for me, but I mean, it went pretty well for everybody else.
You still have the title, I hope.
Nope, I do not. I no longer have the EWI Diamond Championship around my waist any longer.
Tell me you got cheated. You did.
Yeah. What happened was I got forced to. Well, first off, my knee's been messed up ever since I did a taping in St. Paul. And they decided to, take advantage of that and put me in 3 straight wrestling matches where I had to defend my title each and every time. So I beat the first opponent, and then I was presumed that I was done because nobody called me out. Well, then a ref called me out to fight me for it, and I was beating them down, and I was choking them out, and they were ready to tap out, and somebody came up from behind, clocked me in the back of the head, and put me down, and so I got pinned 1-2-3, and so somebody took my title. So then I proceeded to take the said person who screwed me out of my title, and I took him to Pound Town and threw him into the steel steps, and I beat him up and hurt him pretty bad, and we went to a double count out. So now I've got a new target for myself, and now that I don't have the Diamond title, I can go after Nick Nelson and the EWI Epic Championship.
So I'm assuming that the way it works in wrestling lore, if you lose a title, you are due for a rematch at some point, correct?
Well, the thing is, the Diamond Championship is a 24/7 title, so whenever I see that champion that beat me and I want to go for it, I have every right to challenge as long as I have a referee present. Like I said, anybody that was willing to do it for me, I'm willing to do it for them. So if I ever see that person who took the championship from me and hopefully nobody's around to mess with me, I'll take it back, or I'll just go aim for the heavyweight belt and say the heck with it altogether.
Well, here's what I'm going to do, Matthias, because we are good friends here. I'm gonna go try and find me a referee shirt, and I'm going to work on getting you that title back.
Well, sounds like a plan, but like I said, compared to the EWI Diamond Championship, that Epic title is looking pretty good, and the person who I fought previously for another belt, Nick the Natural Nelson, he currently holds that championship. And from what I've been told, I'm getting looked into being put in the main event of our biggest show for that title. So we'll see. We'll see what Matthias decides to do.
All right. Well, I want you to keep us posted on that in the meantime. Granny, have you had any wrestling events that you've attended?
Not recently. I've got one coming up next weekend on the 10th of December for Wrestling for a Cause. It's their Christmas event. And other than that, I was supposed to have one this Saturday, but that got the company has actually withheld having any matches until next March. The promoter has been having some pretty serious health issues. So, and because of the weather, you know, it's getting Arkansas lately has been really unpredictable with weather and everything. So they've just made a decision just not to have any shows until March of next year. So, but I've got a few coming up though that I'm planning on trying to attend. So,
well, we hope that the said promoter does kick out of the health issues that he has. So we'll be looking forward to that. What else can we talk about before our first guest calls in? You know, I got something else interesting. You know, and everybody thinks I'm bragging or name dropping or whatever, but you guys both, I'm sure have heard of the movie A Christmas Story, correct?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on Facebook, and he's also been a guest on the show, who is planning on returning to our show as a guest, Scott Schwartz. Of course, he played Flick in the movie A Christmas Story. He's the one that put his tongue on the pole and got it frozen, if you guys remember that scene.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend, I actually was able to live a childhood dream. And with that being said, I now happen to own my own little Red Ryder BB gun. Ever since that movie came out, I've always wanted one. Of course, my parents would never let me have one, basically because of that movie and what happened to Ralphie. But I now happen to own one. It's on my man cave wall, and it will remain in the box. I do not plan on opening it. When Scott Schwartz is back on the show, I do plan on having send that to him and have him autograph that, because he's still good friends with a lot of the cast members that are still around, especially that Peter Billingsley, who played Ralphie. So we're waiting for our first guest to call in, Hayden Newman, and let's give a little background check on him. He's from Valley, Alabama, and was born on December 15, 1985. He acted in several plays, including The Wizard of Oz as Scarecrow and the Rocky Horror Picture Show. He also directed several plays, including Sword and Lies, Plaza Suites, and Wait Until Dark. He film directed debuted in is The Reunion from Heck, and he's also a writer and producer himself. So, Matthias, I hope you don't mind talking a little horror film with Hayden. I'm sure he'll enjoy that. With that all being said, I guess what we'll do here is we'll just wait for our guest to call in. Matthias, were you aware that the WWE was coming back to the Fargo Dome here? Were you aware of that?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was aware of that, but unfortunately I will not be able to make that event because I have two bookings that I need to decipher between. I've got one for the EWI, which will be the time I'm supposedly going for the heavyweight belt, or for APW, where I am defending possibly my heavyweight belt. So I got to try to figure out those bookings, but other than that, yeah, I've heard they'll be back on April 8th, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, right. They're on the road to WrestleMania.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
You know, unfortunately, it's not going to be a live show. Well, it's going to be live here, but it won't be televised or anything.
No.
In the new year coming up, as you guys know, that we're going to have Eric Bischoff on with us. And I'm going to ask him if he was aware, and I'm sure he is, that did you guys know that when WCW Monday Nitro was here in Fargo, North Dakota, at the Fargo Dome, it's the only time that the World Heavyweight Championship changed hands three times in one night, and that happened here in River City. Were you guys aware of that?
Oh, yeah.
I believe you were at that show, weren't you, Matthias?
I mean, I don't think so. I know I wasn't at the show. I don't know if I was too young to be in the show or what, but, yeah, I remember it happening. I just wasn't in Fargo at the time.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I was there, and that was an exciting event. I just couldn't believe what I saw. You know, we had WCW Thunder here twice, and we had a WCW Monday Nitro here once. You know, WWE, of course, WWF back in the day, has never had a live show here. I wonder why that is.
Yeah, I mean, maybe because it's not big enough to maybe have, like, a crowd like that huge. I mean, like, the closest I know they go to is
Minneapolis.
Yeah, that's right. The closest that they go to. But, I mean, that's only, like, a few hours away. So it's still worth the drive. I've seen Monday Night Raw live in Minnesota and Minneapolis. But that was at the Target Center back, like, in 2014. So it's been a while since I went to a live WWE show.
All right, well, it looks like our first guest is ready, waiting in the wings, so we're going to take a quick little commercial break. We will be back after these messages from one of our sponsors, and then we'll have our first guest. So stick with us. The new WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, located at 1090 35th Street North at the I-29 and 12th Avenue North interchange, is an extended stay, pet-friendly hotel with kitchenettes in every room, including a stovetop, full-size fridge, and microwave, plus a big 40-inch flat-screen TV with free Wi-Fi. You can book a room at 701-582-1600 or online at www.woodspring.com. WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, rated 4.2 by TrustScore. And we do thank the WoodSpring Suites for sponsoring our show. But right now, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, the director amongst all directors, the reason why the horror film business is as good as it is, ladies and gentlemen, I give you our guest at this time. He is Hayden Newman.
Hi, this is Hayden Newman. You're listening to the Attitude Era Monday Live Monday on 89.1 KEN FM with your host, the Icon, the Big Swing, the Godmother of Wrestling, Granny Hulkster, and the Modern Nightmare, Matthias.
Well, how are you, Hayden? Thanks for taking time out of your busy directing schedule to join us tonight. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Well, we're not too bad. Here's how we're going to do this. Hayden, or should I refer to you as Mr. Newman? How would you prefer that?
Hayden's fine.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do then. If you want to give us a quick little background about yourself, then I'll ask you a few questions, and we'll do a round table, and then I'll ask you then we'll come back to me, and I'll ask you the tougher questions.
All right. Sounds good. I am from a small town in Alabama. It's called Valley. It's about 20 minutes away from Auburn University. Roll Tide, exactly. I have been acting and directing for 21 years. I started in theater when I was 15 years old and went from there. And the way I got into film was I was at a convention, and the idea for the film had been going in my head forever, and I had went to a convention and gone to a panel on indie filmmaking, and it was hosted by Michael Biehn, who was in The Terminator. He played Kyle Reese in The Terminator and was in Aliens, and he's been in several movies. But he has gotten into indie filmmaking, and his advice was, if you want to make a movie, who's stopping you? You're just stopping yourself. Go and do it. So I went home with that advice. I wrote the first draft of the script for the first film in 7 days, and within 8 months, we were filming the first movie.
Now, that was Redhead, correct?
No. That was Reunion from Hell.
Okay, Reunion from Heck. Gotcha. Okay. All right. And there's actually been two parts to that, correct? Reunion from Heck 1 and Reunion from Heck 2?
Yes. We just got done filming 2, excuse me, in January of this year. We finished filming. We're in post-production now, and we premiere in January of 2023. And that stars Lisa Wilcox from Nightmare on Elm Street 4 and 5, Danny Hassel from Nightmare on Elm Street 4 and 5, and Mark Patton from Nightmare on Elm Street 2. So it's kind of a Nightmare on Elm Street alumni reunion also.
And you're also in the movie too, correct?
Yes. Yes, I'm in both of them. Yes, that's correct.
And if I'm not mistaken, if I would have been available, you would have put me in the movie too, correct?
Oh, yeah.
We have Hayden Newman as our guest here on 89.1 KENS FM. And, we have a generous amount of time here left with our buddy here. So now when you, when you made the first movie, and, you know, it's generally a rare thing that you would have you know, one movie released and then actually get to make a sequel to another, it actually, and I'm not just saying this because you're a guest here, but most sequels do not live up to the first one. And from what I understand from this one, it actually may be even better than the first one. How would you concur on that?
You know, the first film is my baby, obviously, and the second film is my baby too. But you know, I would agree. We really ramped up everything in two, and I feel two is a much I believe that it'll be better than the first one, in my opinion, also.
And do you, with this doing well, and I know it's going to do well, you said it's going to be released in January, correct?
We have our premiere in January, yes. And then on January 14th, we're having a fan screening event in Nashville, Tennessee. That's where we're premiering. But a fan screening event where fans will be able to buy tickets, come and meet the cast and crew. Lisa Wilcox will be there. Danny Hassel will be there. They'll get to watch the film with us. They'll get autographs, all of that.
And then will you have a question and answer session at the end of the premiere?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
We will have a Q&A session, and we also have the band who wrote the theme song for the original theme song for the second film. They will be performing there also.
And then when before I introduce him, I'm going to ask this now because I know he'll ask this. Do you think there's any chance you'd be able to hook us up with Matthias's hero, Lisa Wilcox, to be a guest on our show?
It's very, very possible. I will do my best.
All right. We have Hayden Newman as our guest here on 89.1 Kids FM. We got about 24 minutes. Well, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and bring Granny out. I know that she likes the older horror films like The Nightmare on Elm Street and all those. So, Granny, what do you have for our guest, Hayden Newman? Go ahead.
Well, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Well, thank you.
What was your most favorite thing about being a part of those movies that you've been a part of and helping direct them?
The best thing I would have to say is being able to do something that was, I feel, unique, but also pay homage to the horror films that we grew up on. But also the chance to work with the talent that I've gotten to work with both one and two, you know, was a dream come true. If you'd have told me a few years ago, I would be here now and had worked with Kathy Podwell from Night of the Demons and then Lisa Wilcox and Danny Hassel and Mark Patton, I'd have told you were crazy.
Wow, that's awesome.
Now in this movie, I mean, you had star power in both of them, but would you say there's more star power in part two than there is in part one, or is it about equal?
No, there's more in two. One, you know, Kathy was the big star in one, Kathy Podwell, who was in Night of the Demons. She was the final girl in Night of the Demons, and she was on the television show Dallas for four seasons. But two definitely brought in the stars. They saw one, read the script, loved the first film, and wanted to be involved.
That's awesome. We have Hayden Newman as our guest here on 89.1 Kens FM. We got about 20 minutes, and we're going to let Matthias take his five. What do you got, Matthias? I know that this is intriguing for me, so what do you got, Matthias? Go ahead.
Well, yes, you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every
Oh, my God, who
nightmare.
The hell cares?
Now, I don't know if that's Icon or Big Swing doing that every single week, but that's really getting on my nerves. And I'm gonna have a talk with whoever the heck's doing that, and I might even quit the show. I'm getting annoyed at that. Anyway, You are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, the current reigning, defending, undisputed APW World Heavyweight Champion, Matthias. Welcome on to the show, to my segment of the show, I must say. What is
well,
one of
thank
the,
you.
As a fellow movie lover and a fellow kind of actor and director situation like I was in college, who was one of your bigger influences that led you down the path of becoming an actor / director and a movie lover in general?
I would have to say my huge, really huge influence was John Carpenter,
okay.
And what he did with the original Halloween. You know, that was a very low budget film, and you know, it's just beautifully shot. And yeah, it would be John Carpenter.
So then, would you say that horror films are probably one of your favorite genres of film?
Oh yes, definitely. Now I love, you know, thrillers, suspense, you know, drama, comedy. I've done pretty much all of it on stage. but horror is definitely one of my favorite genres, yes.
And then what subgenre of horror would you say is one of your favorites? For me, it was slasher films growing up.
It was the same with me, the slasher, the whodunit mysteries like Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer. It was definitely the slasher films, you know, the classics, Halloween, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, all of those.
Absolutely. And then I like to ask this about with our other horror fan guests. Is there a movie out there that you used to watch maybe like when you were a kid or something that will still get you to this day? Like, is there like a particular part of a film, or was it just a film in general that's like, you know, I still can't watch that without cringing or something like that?
You know, it's funny. I'd done an interview earlier today and kind of asked the same question. It's Friday the 13th Part 2, and it's been something that has bothered me ever since I was a kid. When I was about 3, maybe 4, my older brother and sister were watching it, and I just happened to walk in on the scene where Jason bursts through the window and grabs the final girl, and he has the mask off, and that terrified me. And for years, I would not watch a Friday the 13th movie. I would not watch a Friday the 13th movie. And still to this day, I know it's coming every time I watch it, but I still jump.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I like to say, when I watch a horror film, I don't get, like, scared. I don't get jumpy. I don't get anything, really. Like, I don't know if it's just I'm not really easily scared or whatever, but the one film that will always get to me, because it's a particular kill scene, and it's from the original Hatchet. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the Hatchet series at all.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so from the very first one, the second kill of the older lady when they first show up to Victor Crowley's house, and she gets her head ripped in half.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows exactly what scene you're talking about. You can tell.
And it's the one thing is, like, Kane Hodder's been such a great actor as, you know, Jason and, of course, Victor Crowley and such. And Victor had such creative kills in those films. But just seeing, like, his hands go into her mouth and you're like, oh, you know, whatever's going to happen. And then you see the cheeks ripping along with it. And, like, I can just feel that in my own mouth. And it still kind of makes me cringe every once in a while when I see it. It just makes me kind of shiver a little bit, you know?
Oh, definitely, yes.
Hayden Newman's our guest here on 89.1 KENZ FM, and we got about 17 minutes here with Hayden. One thing I do want to ask you about, you know, first off, one thing I don't hate me for doing this, but I do want to wish you an early birthday. I know that your birthday is in, 17 days, December 15th, your birthday is. So we want to wish you a happy birthday here from our show. And,
well, thank you.
You know, and I figured what a better birthday present to give you than to have you meet all of us. I know that was on your high on your birthday wish list.
Hey, I have no problems with it. It's great.
So now, when you as a matter of fact, I know that we had a guest last week who actually spoke very highly of you. Slasher Scotty was on with us.
Yes,
and he told us a lot about you, and he was very complimentary of you and your directing skills. So I just want to let you know that because I know that you know him real well.
Yes, Scotty's really great. I've done a couple of interviews for his podcast. He's a really nice guy.
Now, when you you've done Reunion from Heck, and we have to kind of that we know it's HE Double Hockey Tip. We know that, but we had kind of edited for radio. But you did the first one in 2021, and then you did the next one in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you don't want to, and I'll understand if you don't want to reveal this, but might we see a part three, or do you think after part two it kind of plays itself out? Because, like, there's a lot of movies that they do sequels out that they just should have stopped at, like, two. Like Godfather, for instance, part three was terrible, you know.
Well, you know, see, the funny thing is, to answer that question, there was never originally planned to be a two. Things happened on set during one that set up a perfect cliffhanger, and that we knew we had to do a two, and we knew people would want it fast. I have said that I'm open to doing a three, but I've also said that if I do a three, it will be the final one of this franchise. I do not want to go any further than that.
You know, and I was going to ask you on that. It's like, do you think that, you know, I found out today that they're actually going to have another Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory that's coming out in 2023. Do you think that it's, you know, you're a Hollywood director. Do you think that Hollywood is just running out of original ideas, or are they just afraid to try something new?
I think they're running out of original ideas, and I think they're also afraid to try something new as well. I think Hollywood's been running out of ideas for many years. Now I do like some of the what they call them requels they have done. You know, where like they just did it with the Halloweens, and they did it with the last Scream that came out. I do like some of the requels that they have done. But I feel like they've ran out of fresh ideas.
And they're actually going to have a Scream 6 coming up. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Oh, yes. I'm very much aware. Scream is a very influential film for me because it was the first horror film that I ever saw in the movie theater, given my age up.
Yeah, you guys could be like brothers, you know.
So, yeah, Scream was a very influential film for me because it was the first one I ever saw in a theater, and it was, you know, it was 1996. It was, you know, just the music and everything of that time period was just perfect. And so I'm looking forward to 6. I'm kind of disappointed that Neve Campbell is not returning for 6. I'm interested to see where they're going to go, but I am looking forward to it.
We need to take a quick time out, and we'll be right back after these messages. Give us about 30 seconds.
As you know, 89.1 Ken's FM is funded through donations by our listeners and sponsorships from area businesses. If your business would like to sponsor Ken's FM and reach thousands of young adults and college students every day, contact us at 218-585-3067 or at info@kensfm.com. Any one of us can help you get your sponsorship started. We have many packages available to fit your budget. So contact us today at 218-585-3067 or at info@kensfm.com. And thanks for listening to 89.1 Ken's FM.
And for regular listeners of our show, if you go to our Facebook page, Attitude Era, Monday Live Monday, you like that, go to Ken's page, 89.1 Ken's FM page, you like that. Do a $10 a month donation to Power of the Tower. We'll get you automatically qualified to win a autographed picture or some memorabilia from past guests, current guests, or future guests. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe Hayden either has sent us something or he has going to send us something, if I'm not mistaken.
I am going to send y'all some autographs, yes.
Awesome. Now, when you do the release in January, do you plan on then how long do you expect till we can see it, like, on Blu-ray or DVD or 4K?
I'm going to say I'm pushing for around April. It may be a little sooner, but I'm pushing for April.
And if we could, maybe would you be wanting to come back on to promote the release of the movie on DVD or Blu-ray? I almost said video. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I would love to.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll you gave me your phone number, and everybody's like, well, "Why would you do that?" I'll call you later this week, and we'll get that set up so we can get you back on in April. Now, how long were you on set filming Reunion from Heck 2?
We were on set for 2.5 weeks. We shot in Sevierville, Tennessee. It's right outside of Gatlinburg, in a cabin on top of a mountain, and it was literally on top of a mountain. We were secluded from everybody, and we got snowed in a couple of times. It was a lot of fun.
It only took you 2 weeks to film the movie, huh?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and
how do you get everything done in 2 weeks?
We don't stop working, basically. No, we I sit down and write out a schedule every day of the scenes we're going to shoot that day, and, you know, we go for it. That's indie filmmaking.
So is it basically we're going to get up at 6 and we're going to film until 11 p.m. and then you guys can go sleep for a couple hours and get right back here?
Yeah, it's basically, I would say, sometimes 18-hour days, sometimes 16-hour days. But that's indie filmmaking. I mean, the original Halloween was shot in 17 days.
I did not know that. So now, do you prefer a quick filming schedule compared to a long, like, 30-day shoot? Do you prefer short or long, or doesn't matter, depending on what you do, I guess?
You know, it doesn't matter to me as long as I have a good crew, and I do. I have an excellent crew that, you know, I've worked with on both of these films, and, you know, I trust them and know that they'll get the work done. So it really comes down to if you have a crew that, you know, is committed.
Now, I was going to ask you if you, we talked about the possibility of 3, but do you have any other projects that you're cooking in the background that you might be willing to kind of drop some hints without giving away too much?
I am, you know, I'm working on some treatments for films that, you know, my main goal right now is getting to finish, but I'm also casted in a film called Redhead that is directed by Sam Hodge, who is my co-director and DP on the Reunion films. And that's it's a very different type. It's a horror film, very different type of horror film, more kind of the, I would say, revenge horror, like I Spit on Your Grave type film.
Oh, that's cool. The reason why I was asking is because, you know, if you're looking for extras, of course, you know, you'd have to pay Granny or Matthias, and I know that they'd love to help you out. Like for me, as long as I can get a place to sleep on set and a couple hot dogs, I'll come out and work for you. You won't have to pay me a dime until the movie makes $1 million. Then you can send me some residuals. I'm willing to work for you. Would you be willing to hire somebody like that?
Oh, definitely. You know, I'm very much, you know, always looking for new talent, and I love to give people chances to, you know, dip their toe into the water. I don't like to recast the same people over and over again. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Now, one thing that everybody knows that, and our fans that listen to the show know that I do this, I'm always trying to up my game, and you know, my goal is to you know, get myself out there and to become more known than I already am. So, what advice would you give to someone that's wanting to get involved in projects like yours?
Well, my first advice is, you know, network like you're already doing. You know, also, you know, if you see something about auditions, don't be afraid to do it. You know, one of my favorite sayings, and I kind of stick by it, is that if you have a dream, never let anyone take it away, and always believe that the impossible is always possible. And I've learned that definitely in the last few years.
And when you're, you know, when you did one and then you did two, and you know, you get a rapport with all the different actors, is it easy to call them up and say, "Hey, I'm going to do a sequel. Would you be a part of it?" Or is it more complicated than that?
No, it's very easy. You know, I have developed friendships with all of the actors, and you know, all of them have said that, you know, they would love to be on other projects with me, whether it be a 3 or something else. So yeah, it's very easy. I just had a phone call with Lisa Wilcox last week, and you know, it's kind of surreal that I have like a 2-hour phone call, just a conversation with her. And the same with Danny Hassel and Kathy Podwell. You know, Mark's kind of harder to talk to because Mark lives in Mexico, so it's more emails with Mark.
So you have to call him after midnight to get the international rates.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's a thing anymore, but, you know, you know, the interesting thing, you know, you mentioned Lisa Wilcox. You know, I've been a fan of hers for as long as I can remember, with all the different projects that she's done, especially in Star Trek and Nightmare on Elm Street. I would be forever in your debt. And like I said, I'm willing to come out and work for you for free. I'll even get your cappuccino and carry your bags if you can get us hooked up with her as a guest. I'd do anything.
I will definitely see what I can do. I know that she is on her way to Germany right now. She's doing a convention in Germany this weekend. So it'll be probably about 2 weeks before I talk to her again. But I will see what I can do, definitely. She's a doll. She is a very professional, very easy to work with, just a sweetheart.
Yeah, and I know, like I say, I remember in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Star Trek The Next Generation, because when I was a kid, not that anybody cares, but when I was a kid, I couldn't watch horror films, so I remember her from those. I didn't get to see her in Nightmare on Elm Street until later. I'm like, hey, that's the gal from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which was kind of cool. Before we go here, Hayden, if our fans want to check you out and see, do you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok? What do you got?
Yeah, I have Facebook, which is, you know, just Hayden Newman, and real easy to find me. My main photo, or my profile photo, was taken on the set of 2, and it's me with Lisa Wilcox, Danny Hassel, and Mark Patton. We're standing in front of a Christmas tree. And then I have Instagram also, and that's Hayden Newman as well, and it's actually the same profile photo. So it's real easy to find me.
You know, and I hope that and this is kind of an ego question. I hope that collector's card I made for you you liked, because I wanted to use a good picture. I hope you liked that.
Oh yes, I definitely did. Yes.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, you have been awesome, and I will definitely be in touch with you. We'll definitely get you back on in April, because I do have we book our guests out a year in advance, and our calendar for 2023 is full, but as a matter of fact, I just got an opening for the last week in April, so I will get you set up, and we'll get you back on with us so you can promote the release of the film on DVD and Blu-ray.
That sounds great. You know, I appreciate you having me on, and I've enjoyed this. And I wish you and all your listeners, you know, a happy holiday season, and looking forward to 2023.
All right. Thanks, Hayden. You are awesome. Have a good night. We appreciate you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right. Hayden Newman, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I'll tell you what. It looks like our next guest is waiting in the wings. We're going to take a quick little commercial break, and we'll be back after these messages. And stay tuned, because we will be back.
Tune in every Friday night at 8 p.m. and join me, Joel Snerrynight, as my music from outer space gets intercepted by your eardrums. We've got rock. We've got electronic. We've got old novelty records. We've got pizza. Okay, that technology is still being worked on, so until we can perfect the transmission of a pizza directly to your mouth, for now we can have an hour-long buffet of rock and roll every Friday night. That's Rock and Roll Space Station, Fridays at 8 p.m. right here on the best station in all the galaxy, and Fargo, of course, Ken's FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, she is the lovely, she is the beautiful, she is the awesome, she is the one and only Diana Carter.
Hey, this is Diana Carter. You're listening to the Attitude Era Monday Live on 89.1 Kins AFM, with your host, the icon, the big swing, the godmother of wrestling, Granny, and the modern nightmare, Mateus.
How are you, Diana? Thank you for bringing your beautiful accent to our show tonight. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good. We have Diana Carter here on 89.1 Kins FM. We got about 30 minutes here with Diana. So here's how we're going to do this. If you want to give us a quick little background about yourself, then I'll ask you a few questions, and then we'll do a roundtable, and we'll come back to me and I'll ask you the tougher questions.
Okay, great. Well, my name is Diana Carter. I am an Army veteran. I started in the business, in the entertainment business, a few years ago. I have I started as a publicist with a PR and marketing company. Then I created my talent management company in Hollywood, and now I'm also the CEO and founder of a production company in LA.
That's awesome. Now, when you with all the stuff that you've done in the past and the stuff you're doing now, do you have one thing that you like doing more so than the rest of the projects?
I like all three of them. I wear different hats, and right now I think that me knowing PR and marketing and being able to cast projects and now the whole production side, it has helped me to put projects together better and all more with a quality talent. So I really don't have an area that I like the most. I actually like all three of them, and I use all of them to package the projects correctly.
And I also want to let everybody know that you also are a veteran. You did serve our country, and we do appreciate your service, and thank you for that
thank
as
you.
Well.
Thank you.
Now you've produced many films, and you've done. You're also a member of many different film entities. Being a director, what is your favorite part about being a director?
And to be honest with you, work on set direct. Work on set with the actors when you're filming a scene and being able to help them to get to the next level. I think that's a very it's a connection that you create with the actor at that point and actually everyone on set. I really enjoy that.
And when you're casting and you're selecting people to be part of your films, what is the one quality that you look for?
Structure.
Just so I know.
Structure. I would tell I cast a lot of projects. I'm actually casting four right now. And I always tell actors, you have to invest in yourself. You have to have your stuff together. So when I get an email from someone with 1,000 links, a link for, you know, a reel, IMDb photos, and then I get someone that sends me one pager or an EPK, I think a structure and it saves a lot because someone that actually, you know, packages and supply, it's easier for you to see the overall picture in the talent that someone that sends you emails and you're trying to figure it out, which photo, which link. Sometimes the link don't work. Sometimes the reel doesn't work. So I look at that first. I look at to the packaging itself of the actor itself, and then I go into what they have done by checking their IMDb, their reel, and just go from there.
That's awesome. Diana Carter is our guest here on 89.1 KENZ FM. We got about 25 minutes. Before I continue with my questions, I'm going to introduce you to one of my co-hosts first. We have Granny Hulkster, but before we do that, we need to take a quick little time out here to do a little legal thing, and we'll be right back. Give us about 10 seconds.
You're listening to 89.1 KENZ FM, KNNZ FM, Holly, Fargo, Moorhead. Independent public radio for Fargo-Moorhead and the Valley. Also on the web at www.kensfm.com.
All right, Granny, what do you have for our guest, Diana Carter? Go ahead.
Well, welcome to the show, and also thank you for your service. It's very much appreciated.
Thank you.
So it sounds like you are a very talented person and everything that you've done and everything that you're doing in your life. What has been one of your biggest challenges that you've had in your career of everything that you've done?
To be honest with you, the transition from a civilian to be a soldier and the transition back from a soldier to be a civilian, that has mm-hmm. been one of the most challenges. Since I spent 18 years total working in the military as a soldier, as a civilian, army civilian, as in the reserve, and you're very structured. I think that has helped me when it comes to the entertainment industry, but that switch back, it is challenging, but we adapt and we adjust, but it's not easy.
Oh, yeah, I can only imagine. What military did you serve in? Were you Army, Navy, Marine?
Army.
Yes, my brother, he was in the Army for over 20 years before he was medically discharged because of his knee. So my brother was Army, so.
That's awesome. Diane Carter is our guest here on 89.1 KENZ FM. We got about 20 minutes here with Diana. Now, I want to introduce you to our up-and-coming star, and I know that he would love to come work for you. Matthias, what do you have for a guest? Go ahead. Let's see if we can get you a job somewhere.
Well, first off, yes, you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning defending undisputed APW World Heavyweight Champion, Matthias here. Welcome on to my section of the show. It's glad to have you. Is there somebody out there that was one of your biggest influences that you like? Is there anybody out there that you wish you could work with, like from the past, or is there somebody in the future that you have a dream to work with later on?
And you can't say me because that'd be too easy.
Well, I really think that I learned, to be honest with you, I have 57 clients. I learned from all of them, regardless of the level when it comes to the acting side. I learned, everyone teach me something. Anyone that I would like to work with, honestly, I don't have any specific actor that I can say, oh, he or she's my favorite. I'm really trying to stay away from that. I think that everyone has skills. And, of course, some of the skills are better for some projects than others. And I'm going to leave that right there.
Okay. So if you know, you mentioned you have a lot of clients, and I'm sure due to client-agent confidentiality, you can't mention them. But if someone wanted to have you be their agent, what would they have to do?
Well, actually, I know my IMDb, and I can mention that everything on IMDb is public. Some of my clients that you guys might know, Daniel Baldwin, he's my client. He's also a friend and mentor. He's one of the persons that when I need that breather, I reach out to him. I have also Donna Lee. She used to be Miss Universe, Miss United States. I have guy Bruce Social. I have they're on IMDb, Crystal Snow. I have Oksana Lara. She works for Sopranos. I have Daniel Kautz. He's actually a very upcoming big director in London. I just picked him up. So I have a bunch of clients that are on IMDb. So I'm on IMDb as Diana Ramos Santiago Carter. So they can just reach out through there, send me an email, and then we will let them know, you know, where they need to send their package, and then we'll review it. And if it's a fit for the company, we will set up a call, and then we just go from there.
Now you've had a few cool movies that you've been involved in, and a TV series, The Million Dollar Affair, Haunted, PTSD,
yes.
A Soldier's Revenge, American Trash, and so on. Now, I was kind of curious about the PTSD, A Soldier's Revenge. Now, because you served in the Army, did you? Is there a lot of your experiences involved in that film?
Yes, actually, PTSD, A Soldier's Revenge is actually a my film, but I'm one of the executive producers, co-writer. Tom Anderson, he's a military veteran. He wrote the film. I have Steve Alexander, which is the Colonel Purple Heart recipient, also in the film. It's actually it's a military film created by veterans. That movie is very close to my heart because it's actually all based on true stories. Actually, the main actress, which is Oksana, the lead, her name is Anna Eve, which is Diana backwards, which is my name. So I can say a lot because it's going to be we're in post-production. We have one big scene that we're going to be filming. We're 95% done. We're going to restructure that scene. We have a lot of people behind that project, and we hope to not only create consciousness to, you know, bring some funding to certain organizations that the military has out there. I don't know if you guys are aware, but every day 22 veterans commit suicide because of PTSD. Do the math. So this is a movie that is an emotional film based on true stories, and I think it's going to create the noise that we need to hopefully help some of the fellow veterans and soldiers like myself that are dealing with PTSD or have dealt with.
And has that been released yet? Where can our listeners find that?
Well, it hasn't been released yet. We do have a distribution letter of interest in place. Right now, we are looking. I have Tom Sizemore on that film. He's actually a colonel, and we were trying to get with his schedule and my schedule, and I have so many things going on. So the plan is to get with him after New Year's, hopefully January, we can lock him in. We're going to bring some other people and restructure that main scene. It's going to be critical to create that war realistic picture that we really want to create. And we think after that, so hopefully I would think by 90 days, maybe, but, you know, should be ready out there. So right now, that's where we are. So definitely by the summer we'll be out. We just need to make some changes to make it better.
That is really cool. Now I was going to ask you, as a you know, as a producer and writer and director, do you prefer writing for the small screen, or do you prefer doing big screen stuff, or is it basically the same thing?
I think, honestly, it depends on the story. I think the story has a lot to do. For instance, if you comedy, that's something that is not something that I have a passion for. So it's going to be kind of, I have to get into with it, but it's something that I have a passion for, like, you know, in this case, like the military, the PTSD, that we deal with, or just, you know, horror, things like that is easier. But I think the storyline has a lot to do. Even if it's an indie project, a short film, a student film, I support a lot of the students right now, whether it's working on the thesis. So as long as the story, it is a good story and it means something, especially if it's something that could impact or help society, so I get involved. I get more involved and more excited about that.
Now, you got another project coming out. You know, you mentioned Tom Sizemore and PTSD. You're also doing a project with him called American Trash that comes out in 2023. Is that correct or is that inaccurate?
Yeah, the American Trash, I'm a producer on the project. I help with casting. It's actually Robert Lazardo. You probably know him. Project, he's the owner, he's the writer. That one's already shot. It's in post-production. It's a schedule to come out in 2023. I can't say much about it, you know how it is, but it is, that one is done. It's a very great story. It's a really good script. I was on set many, many times. So I know that one is a project that I know is going to also connect with the audience based on the story behind it.
Now, I had mentioned at the beginning that, you know, you're part of, you know, you're a member of, you have memberships in many different things. You know, the Emmy Natus Suncoast, Emmy's Mata mm-hmm. Pacific, Emmy's New York, Academy Museum of mm-hmm. Motion Pictures, American Film Institute, Sundance Film Institute, National Women's History Museum, Film Independent, and so on. How do you get to be involved in all the different entities?
To be honest with you, I've been blessed with some great mentors, and I listen. Anyone that is older than me, I listen because they're wise that have been doing it for longer than me. So I'm always taking their advice. So I actually started with the Emmys in California, with the original Emmys California, did I was able to get into the one in Florida, New York. I judged a lot for the Emmys this year, over 100 projects for all three chapters, actually several chapters. So I don't know. I guess that, you know, people knowing when you go to events and you meet people seeing you, what you're doing, social media, and things like that. I do a lot of research. For instance, when I wanted to go be part of AFI, American Film Institute, I emailed them. And I told them, this is who I am, this is what I'm trying to do, how can I become a member? And they told me how. You can go to the website, they explain you their how. I did the paperwork, and that's it. So I guess by doing my research and listening to people's recommendations, and based on that, I just reach out to whoever is in charge for that specific organization, and they just go from there.
You know, Matthias and myself and Granny Hulkster, you know, I'm assuming that none of us will ever get a chance to go to a live Emmys award show, but you've been to many. What is it like sitting in the audience for the Emmys?
Well, I haven't been on any, actually any of the shows yet. I was supposed to go to New York for the Emmys in New York this year, was the 73rd, the original, the chapter, and I was not able to due to conflict of scheduling, which I was kind of like. So hopefully in 2023, that's my goal, to be able to go if the schedule permits, as I have a lot of projects on 2023, but that's something that I'm going to be looking into because I want to go just not to support, you know, everyone there, but also to experience, you know, that type of event.
Diana Carter is our guest here. We got about 11 minutes here with Diana Carter. Now, I'm kind of curious. Now, I'm also looking at some of the things you've been nominated for. Nominated for Forbes Next 1000, the Emmy's 2021 Pacific Chapter Judge, 2021's Award News Award nominee, Los Angeles Business Journal Women's Award nominee. Now, when you get nominated for these different awards, I'm kind of curious, how far in advance do you hear that you're a nominee and they need you to be at the show to possibly win the award? How far in advance do they let you know?
To be honest with you, it depends. Sometimes, you know, 6 months, sometimes 3 months. Usually, I would say at least 3 months before the actual event, I hear something. I would say that's kind of 3 months.
And when you find out that when you get that phone call and they say, hi, this is such and such from the Emmys, and we're nominating you for this award, do they say, you're nominated, but you can't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Do you have to keep it secret?
Well, they have a timeline. They will tell me when I can. Usually they do want you to tell. They do want you to announce that. They send me a press release, which I share online. They send – I can use the badge for that nomination. The only one that I was able to that I needed to hold a minute was the one for the Forbes, because they have a process. So I was a nominee for Forbes. Then I went to the finalists, the final nominees with the final round with them. And that's the one. That was the only one kind of I have to hold back for a minute. But everyone else, they actually they send me emails, they send me the press release and the social media, and they actually encourage me to you know, just to let everyone know that I've been nominated and so on and so on and so on.
Now, and I'm sure that you can't mention it, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I can't stop myself. But have you heard about any possible nominations that you might be getting this year that in 2023 that you might be up for that you haven't found out about yet? But is there any that you might be up for?
Actually, yes, there's two, which I'm very excited about it. There's two. Being told through the grapevine, I think it will help. One of them is going to definitely help my PR company to take it to the next level, and the other one will definitely open doors when it comes to the production side and my clients. So I can really talk about those two. I did some other awards that are not being nominated for: leadership, woman of inspiration, woman of leadership, PR, like the woman in PR and public relations of the year. Those ones, I can mention those because I know, but these other two, I'm not able to until I get actually a email confirmation that I'm actually in and running for them.
Well, I do have some good news for you. Now that you've been on this show, you're probably going to win one of those.
Great, that would be great. I really would love to win at least one of them, but we'll see.
Now you got to promise me when you do win those, you'd be willing to, if we haven't scared you away too much by this point, if you're once you win, you'll come back on the show and say, the icon said so.
Yes, I will, definitely.
Awesome. Hey, it's on. It's recorded, guys. You heard it here. Diana Carter is our guest here on 89.1 Kent FM, and we got about 8 minutes. And for those of you who listen to our show, if you go to our Facebook page, Attitude Era, Monday Live Monday, you like that, go to 89.1 Kent FM page like that, do a $10 a month donation to Power of the Tower. We'll get you qualified to win an autographed picture or memorabilia from a past guest, current guest, or future guest. Diana, would you be willing to send us some autographs for giveaways?
Of course, definitely.
Awesome. Now, you've done a lot of pictures with you've done a few projects with Tom Sizemore. I'm kind of curious, what is he like to work with, and would you be able to hook us up with him? I mean, I've been a fan of his. He was in Lock Up with Sylvester Stallone. He played my hero Pete Rose in Hustle. I've been a fan of Tom Sizemore for a long time. What's it like working with Tom?
Tom is a great actor. He's actually one of those, I know now when people, when I started in this industry, people used to tell me he was one of the greatest actors out there. And now, you know, he's really, he's an amazing actor. Actually, I started with him on my PR company. He was my first client. And he has become family, to be honest with you. He's just natural talented, you know. I know some people go through schools and trainings and stuff like that, but he's just natural. I really enjoy to see him on set, and he's able to, you know, just get it done. Even if he's so sick or he feels, you know, any kind of way, he just get into character and just perform. I was able to see him now, American Trash. He was part of American Trash, and I was it's always nice to see him. It's like, you know he's always going to perform. His performance is going to be great, and it's just nice to see him on set and see what he can do.
Now, I believe you said you have over 30 clients. Is that correct, or did I mishear that?
Yeah, I have around right now 55 clients and some other ones that I'm working on bringing on board. But I have on IMDb 55 clients currently.
So now if so basically if one of your clients, if a show like ours wanted to interview one of your clients, will we have to go through you to ask them, or can we ask them and then they got to clear it with you?
Yeah, they will. Usually, yes, you will have just to let me know. You can go into my IMDb or my clients are there and let me know who you like to interview. If there's other ones that they're not there, I can, ask, look at the schedules and stuff like that. I usually know the schedules better than some of them. That's why they were like, okay, ask her because she knows my schedule. But, yeah.
Well, that's good because, like I was mentioning our first guest, you did give me your phone number, so I promise I'll stop calling you at 2 in the morning. I promise you that. But what I'll do is I'll we had a discussion about that. I know I apologize, but what I'll do is I will hook up with you this week, and then maybe we can see about you hooking us up with some of your clients for the 2023 season, especially when this show puts you over the top and you win your first Emmy. You'll say, hey, these guys are the ones that said it was going to happen, and I definitely love these guys. I want to help them out.
Yes, definitely.
And so we can do this. We only got a few minutes here left with you. If our fans want to check you out and see, you got a Facebook, you got an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok, what do you got?
Yeah, so on Instagram, I am under RealDiana87. On Facebook, I am Diana R. Carter. And, of course, IMDb, which is Diana Ramos Santiago Carter. I have everything there, my emails, my cell. Yes, my cell is there. I like to people to be able to get a hold of me. So that's my personal cell on IMDb. And you can get a hold of me, and we can just go from there.
So, Matthias, so what do you think? You and I should become one of Diana's clients.
Well, I mean, whatever gets me more work and whatever gets me more opportunities out in the world, you never take an opportunity for granted when life presents one, do you?
You know, and the other cool thing is, Diana, if you pick us up as clients, Matthias and I will also be your bodyguards, too.
Okay, I will keep that in mind.
Well, because, he's a wrestler, and, I'll stop the first row of people, and he can take out what's left after they take me. Now, I just got to ask you, we were talking about this, and this is kind of an ego question, but, I made you that cool little collector's card that I sent to you, and I was just wondering, what did you think of that card I made for you?
Actually, very nice. Thank you.
Nice. If any of your clients are on with us, I will definitely I'll definitely make them one as well. Diana Carter's our guest here. We got about 2 minutes left. One question I would like to ask you is if anybody's out there starting out and they're wanting to get involved, what advice would you give them?
Educate yourself. I always tell people knowledge is power. I spend a lot of time learning. If I want to learn about contract production, I don't wait for someone to tell me. So I would say just educate yourself, do your research. There's people out there like myself. We will help. We will provide information. We don't know, we can send them to someone. But the main thing is knowledge. Educate yourself. And please do not pay for casting. We do not, actors don't pay for castings and do that. Just learn the basics of being an actor and package themselves correctly. Have your headshots, have your one pager, your EPK. Even if you don't have enough, you don't need an EPK, have at least a one pager, which is a summary of, it's like a business card for an actor. Just the basics.
That's awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, Diana, you have been so wonderful, and I'm glad that you were able to be part of our show tonight, and we love everything you do, and we'll definitely have you back on again, and you are just wonderful, and we do appreciate everything that you do. We want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
You have been awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Diana Carter, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I'll tell you what, we're waiting for our next guest to call in, so we're going to take a quick little commercial break here, and when we return, we'll hopefully have our next guest on. In the meantime, listen to these messages, and we'll be back.
Ladies and gentlemen, the new clocks are here. The new clocks are here. Yes, for a limited time, you can get your very own 89.1 KENZ FM clock. For a $25 donation, you can get a classic analog round-faced clock with the 89.1 KENZ FM logo on the front. Just go to our website, www.kenzfm.com, and under the More Merch tab, you will find the clocks along with numerous other new merch you can order. Get yours now while supplies last. We have these in limited quantity, so order now at www.kenzfm.com.
You know, that commercial never, ever gets old. I just love that commercial so much. We're just waiting for Ryan to call us, and hopefully he'll call us soon. But in the meantime, though, guys, what have you thought of our first couple guests so far?
Pretty awesome.
I mean, Matthias, I mean, wouldn't you like to work with Diana and get in with the big wigs like myself?
Well, like I said, it's just any time an opportunity is presenting itself, whether it be like in the wrestling industry personally for me or, you know, anything in general, I tend to take them. So if anything looks good, I'm going to grab at it and see what Bloodlight can make out of it, I guess.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you guys want to chat amongst yourselves here real quick, I'm going to try and get our next guest on. Just give me a few seconds. I'll let you guys chat amongst yourselves while I do this. Go ahead, guys.
So, Matthias.
It's kind of not much really to talk about, but
no,
I got screwed
know.
Out of my title. What's going on with you?
Well, you know, same old, just a different day, you know, lots going on. But I did want to share something interesting with you. I actually had some very good friends appear in some episodes of that show Young Rock.
Oh, really?
Some of my wrestling friends over in Tennessee.
Oh, okay. There's actually
my one friend, he has a couple of promotions over in Tennessee, Golden Boy Greg Anthony. He actually appeared on episode 3, and he had a brief appearance in it, but he actually portrayed the character of Dick Murdoch.
Okay.
And so that was pretty exciting for him, so...
Yeah, there's actually a couple of promotions in Tennessee I've been actually reaching out to work for, and I haven't heard anything back yet. But other than that, yeah, like
he has Dyersburg, and I think Ripley, Tennessee is where he does his shows at. His is Pro Mid South Wrestling, I think it's called. I've never been to any of his shows yet, but he's wrestled for other promotions that I've been a part of, you know, off and on over the years, and he's a really good friend of mine. So.
And I'm still waiting for my invite over down to your guys' neck of the woods. I'm
well, I don't know. I do know that Ozark Mountain Wrestling, I don't think they're going to be doing any shows in December that I know of. But they made an announcement that they've got some huge announcements coming up for 2023. So I have no clue what they have in store. But there is also another company that's going to be running in Arkansas called Diamond State Wrestling. Their first show is January 22nd.
Well, guys, I hate to our guest is ready, so we're going to go ahead and introduce him right now. Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, he is the big man on campus, and his nickname lives up to that billing. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the man himself, 6'5". Ladies and gentlemen, he is Ryan Rhino Michaels.
Hey, this is Rhino Michaels. You listen to the Attitude Era, Monday night. Live on 89.1 KENS-FM with your host, the icon, the big swing, the godmother of wrestling, Granny Hulkster, and the modern nightmare, Matthias.
How are you? Do you prefer Rhino, Mr. Michaels? You're a big guy, so we want to address you properly. So how would you like to be addressed?
Rhino's kind of a nickname I've gotten stuck with and just grown fond of, so. You can stick with that, I guess, tonight.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. It's a great wrestling name. You know, I was going to ask you, you know, you look a lot like Dave Bautista. Have you ever met the guy?
Yeah. Matter of fact, I had the honor, so to speak, of stunt doubling Dave Bautista on his one of his films a couple years ago called Stuber. He did with Camille Najani, who you might remember from The Big Sick. They shot a lot of it in Atlanta, but it was doubling for L.A. So when they come to L.A., they asked me to do his photo doubling and his stunt driving work in the picture car out here. So for about a week, I got to work with Dave. It was a great, great honor and a lot of fun. Complete professional. Unbelievable how committed he is to his craft and how serious he takes it. And it was just a pleasure working with him. And then I worked with him right before Christmas last year on the Nissan 2022, the new Z car. They shot a big high-tech chase scene here in L.A., and I got to work with Dave again on that.
So, but you didn't challenge him to a wrestling match, did you?
No.
Okay.
No. You know, why must the... One must know one's limitations in life, you know? So.
Rhino Michaels is our guest here on 89.1 Ken's FM. We got about 33 minutes with the man. I wish it was 33 years. But now, being a stuntman, when you you're slated to be a stunt double for, well, say, like Batista, now, is there basically when you're slated to be the stuntman, are you able to say, yeah, I'll do that stunt, or no, I'm not going to do that one, or do you not have a choice because you've already been slated?
No, well, for today's literally billion-dollar action flicks, in many cases, a single stuntman doesn't have all of the skill sets necessary to stunt double someone. He may look like him, but he may not have a certain skill set that somebody else may have. So it's quite common to have three or four stunt doubles for a big action star. Some stunt doubles, like The Rock's stunt double, is his cousin. And they train together, and they've done just about every film since the very beginning with him. But, he gets his bell rung. That's a hard one to stunt double again, you know what I mean? The Rock has got a very specific size and... Anyway, Dave, so far, I've been able to do everything that was required of me in Stuber with him. But, Happens a lot. So, multiple stuntmen.
So now, when you, I'm going to ask a couple. I'm going to ask a few more questions, and then we'll do a roundtable, and we'll come back to me. Since you're well known as a big stuntman, a big stunt guy, do you just get your phone is always ringing off the hook, or do you like, well, hey, I'm available. I could come stunt for your actor, or how does that work?
Well, there's stunt breakdowns. There's a couple of sites like Stunt Availability List or the individual breakdowns that will come from Actors Access or LA Casting. You'll fill out your profile, and as you fall into a certain profile, they will send you a submission that you may or may not want to stunt double submit to. There's also your reputation. I've been doing this almost 40 years as a I actually started I was one of the guys that started stunt acting. Back when I first got out here, there was a hierarchy. If you were a film actor and a stage actor, you could go to stage. Stage could go to film. If you were a TV actor, you were pretty much stuck on TV. If you were a stuntman, you were a stuntman. You didn't want to have your face seen on TV. You didn't want to have your face seen in the film because as soon as they saw your face, you were burned. And most stuntmen didn't want to act either. When I first got out here, the old days, getting your SAG card was catch-22. You couldn't audition for a SAG film unless you were in SAG, couldn't get in SAG unless you were in a SAG film. That's where the Me Too generation came from, actually. You know, it was easier to casting couch, sleep your way up, or start doing extra work, and hopefully you're doing a film or a TV show, and they need somebody to say something that's not scripted, and they point to you and say, you, can you say this? And you hit your mark, and you say it, and you get Taft-Hartley'd. That being said, most of the actors back then, we all started working for Roger Corman, Canon Films, basically B pictures. Now, in a B picture, they're looking to save money. So I came out here as an actor. I had just done a huge French film, Le Grand Carnaval, with Philippe Noiret and Roger Hanan, biggest film of 1984. William Morris saw it and brought me out here. And it occurred to me very quickly, if you can act and do your own action when you're auditioning for these B-type films, and they don't have to stunt double you, you just save the producer, you know, $500, $1,000, which on a low-budget B film means a lot. Today's stuntmen, they're called action actors. They want stuntmen who can deliver lines, who can hit their marks and work with other actors. So you'll see a lot of stuntmen today in acting class, voice class, learning to do multiple types of action and throw dialogue. So it's become quite the thing these days. But when I started, it was almost frowned upon. So if it boiled down to you and another guy for the same job, you can act and do your own stunts, and he can only do stunts, guess who got the job? So that's how I kind of got started. Demolition Man was my first big action film. I was cast with Wesley Snipes, Jesse the Body Ventura, Billy Lucas, and Ben Duran as the five cryocons that took on Stallone and Sandra Bullock. And again,
yeah, you played the trucker, right?
You're thinking of maybe Universal Soldier.
Yeah.
That was my first location job. We went out to Arizona to shoot that. That was a fun job. Yeah, that was a really fun job.
Rhino Michaels, our guest here. We're on 89.1 Kent FM. We got about 28 minutes, and like I said, I wish it were 28 years because we have a lot of questions for you. But, Rhino, I want to introduce you to Granny Hulkster. Now, she is also a big fan of Batista, and I know she's got a few questions to ask you. So, Granny, what do you got for our guest? Go ahead.
Okay.
Well, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you on. And, yes, I actually had the opportunity to get to meet Batista several years ago at an event. I worked for a big retail company here in Arkansas where I live, and I actually had the opportunity to go in and get to meet him, and he was really super cool. And Your voice sounds so much like Batista's. It's unreal. How close. Yeah, I mean, especially that laugh. I mean, it just, you sound so much like him. But I know it had to have been pretty exciting to be able to be his stunt double. What was that like for you? I mean, how exciting was that?
I got to be honest. He's a total gentleman, total pro. He doesn't have an attitude. Here's some insight to him. Jonathan is his personal manager. Jonathan is his best friend from back in the day when they were growing up. Jonathan came up in the business with him. Now, when you get to a certain level of success in this business, and you're talking multi-million-dollar contracts and sponsorships, et cetera, it's really easy to get seduced by a powerful manager and say, oh, I can do this for you, I can do that for you. Dave stuck with Jonathan, and Jonathan, to his credit, is a very intelligent man, takes great care of Dave. They go everywhere together. They both have families and do little vacations together now and then. And that tells you all you need to know about Dave Bautista. He's loyal to his family and his friends and his fans. So nice to everybody. He gave us so many pictures and autographs when we were working that week together. I never saw him turn down anybody. He's just a real sweetheart of a guy. And again,
yeah,
the talent,
he was,
you know, a good, solid actor. I mean, you talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. Who could have played that role better than him? Nobody.
Oh, I know. I know. Exactly. Absolutely awesome.
And
Lionel Michaels, our guest here. Rhino Michaels, our guest here on 89.1 Ken's F. Now, before we come back to me, Rhino, I want to introduce you to the guy that wants to apply to be your bodyguard. He's a modern nightmare, Matthias. Matthias, what do you got for our guest? Go ahead. See if you can get a position on his staff.
Well, yes, you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning defending undisputed APW World Heavyweight Champion, Matthias.
And he has no ego.
Not at all. Welcome on to my part of the show. It's a pleasure to have you. And
you're welcome. Thank you.
So my main question for you would be, you've already worked with like Dave Bautista and other big actors. Is there somebody out there that you have yet to work for that you would always strive to work for?
And you can't say me because that would be too easy.
Yeah. There's some stunt coordinators I'd really like to work for, at least once before I hang up my pads, so to speak. Jack Gill, for instance, is one of them. He does all of the Fast and Furious movies, you know, probably one of the greatest stunt coordinators, second unit directors in the world. He's just one of those guys that's out there I'd like to work with. Eddie Braun, I've known Eddie for years. We've worked in the same field or films together from time to time. But I'm waiting for Eddie to actually call me and say, Rhino, I got something for you. There's so many people in this business that are just so much fun to work with. It's, you know, I'd say it's not work if you're having fun. And when you get to dress up, and especially when you do prosthetic work, so you're becoming some kind of a character or creature. I say that they pay me for what they used to try and arrest me for in the old days. And it's a really nice place to be.
Absolutely.
Now, Rhino, I'm kind of curious. Now, is there what would you say, and I'll understand if you can't answer this question, but what would you say is the most dangerous stunt that you've had to do?
I'd say that was some of the stunts I did in Under Siege 2, stunt doubling Steven Seagal. That was probably his biggest film. That's the one with the train. That involved climbing out of, you know, a speeding train, going through the Rocky Mountains at 60, 70 miles an hour, you know, running on top of the roof, jumping onto the engine, kicking ass, sitting under the engine on a little butt pedestal and hooking your legs and your hands onto something to hold on, and throwing people off the train, crawling under the train, jumping back onto the train. There was a helicopter liftoff that we tried to do several times, but the train was running so close to the wall of the mountain, the helicopter watch was knocking the stainless steel cable and metal ladder all over the place. And so you're running toward the back of the train while the train is going the other direction, and you're supposed to leap off and grab onto this ladder and then, of course, climb up. We tried to do that several times on location. We just couldn't get the ladder in a safe enough position for me to land on it. We tried again at the LA train yards, couldn't do it there, ended up doing it at a Warner Brothers soundstage on green screen. Much safer, but, you know, Magic of Hollywood.
Now, when you're
the most dangerous.
Now, when you're filming a scene and you're out there, and, you know, your adrenaline's just got to be pumping. It's got to be an incredible rush. When you're doing these scenes, how high of a rush is it, and how long does it take you to come down from that rush?
Well, it's the end of the day that takes time to wind down. I come home, even if you had a 12, 14, 16, 18-hour day, sometimes it just takes me a couple of hours to kind of wind down, you know? It's not like, believe it or not, I don't get a lot of adrenaline rushes. When we did Under Siege, here's an example. The train had come up from Denver, and Warner Brothers had bought and built this train. Initially, in the budget, they had a bridge in Oregon. They were going to blow up and put this whole train right into it. They're going to wreck a real train for the big climax. There were certain things that ran way over budget, and we're not going to talk about who and why that happened on that film and who and why that ended his A-list opportunities for the rest of his career. Anyway, they brought the train up, and they said, okay, everybody get on the train. We're going to take it up through the Gore Canyon, and we're going to decide where we're going to do the helicopter's going to come in, and we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and jump back on the train and jump back off the train, and where we're going to, you know, we have to figure out all these things. So Dick Zeiker, our stunt coordinator, hands me a walkie-talkie, says, get on the train. I said, okay, Dick. So the train pulls out, and about 10 minutes into it, 15 minutes into it, I hear Dick Zeiker say, Rhino, where are you? I said, I'm on the train, Dick. And he said, I just walked from the engine to Seagal's caboose. He said, I didn't see you. Where are you? I said, I'm on the train, Dick. And he said, where on the train? I said, oh, I'm on top of the train, Dick. He said, what are you doing up there? I said, I'm sitting in full lotus position. This is where I'm going to work. I want to see what it feels like. Unbeknownst to them, the trains literally ran right through my backyard growing up in New Jersey, Westfield, New Jersey. And as kids, we used to hop the trains all the time and ride them into Pennsylvania, ride them back every now and then, got stranded. Mom would have to come and get us. But being on that train was just like being a kid again. And I'd come back while we're resetting a shot with a big shit-eating grin on my face, and Dick Zeiker would say, pull me aside, will you please stop smiling? I'm trying to get you more money for your stunt adjustment, but you come back here, you know, looking like you're having too good of a time. I said, well, I am. This is fucking great. But
PG language, but PG.
Oh, I'm sorry, America. I hope you got the 15-second delay. I thought we were on cable. Anyway, I've always had a lot of fun. You know, there is that moment when you have to just quiet your mind and still yourself and stay focused because, you know, you have to hit a mark when some special effect is going off and then hit your safety zone and wait until they call cut and be ready to do again if they need it, you know. So, yeah, there's that quiet moment. But I never really got that jacked up doing it. It was always like, yeah, this is going to be fun.
So, you know, you worked with all the Hollywood big men, you know, Van Damme and Dolph Lundgren and Batista and Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes. Now, when you're on set with these individuals, you know, you mentioned how nice of a sweet of a guy Batista is. When you first meet these guys for the first time, are you just like, are you completely awestruck? Or are you just like, this is just another day at the office?
I've always respected talent and I respect the people that I work with because, I mean, let's face it, it's a lottery ticket to hit that, you know? You've got to have that special quality. You've got to get that opportunity to get in front of someone to get a job. You've got to get the job and then you've got to deliver. When I go on a set, I'm a worker among workers. I'm there to serve the producer, to serve the director, to serve the stunt coordinator as best I can to give the public the best product I can. When I stunt double someone, I'm one of these guys that just doesn't do the stunt. I'll watch someone's movies over and over and over, and I will mimic their body movement, their style, their run, their head motions, when they're preparing a scene, I'll be standing on the side, literally mimicking every little thing they're doing, getting my muscle memory. So everything I do is seamless. If you can tell the difference between when the actor is on screen and when the stunt double's on scene, it ruins it for the audience. So I just try and make things seamless. I do a lot more work than the average stunt guy. I'm not just there to do the stunt. I'm doing my best to be that person doing the stunt.
Now, you've also done a lot of doubling on, you know, the small screen, and you know, in Baywatch and Diagnosis Murders and a few others. Is there any big difference between doing the small screen and the big screen?
No. Actually, most of the stuff on TV is guest starring roles for me. I came out here as an actor. William Morris was my first agency. I ran into a little bit of the Me Too generation over there. Trying to get your SAG card was very difficult. As I said, you couldn't get an audition unless you were in SAG back then. And more than once, I was recommended that I go out to Joel Schumacher's parties out in Malibu and meet the guys and la-di-da. And that's very much like the Weinstein thing, only for men, you know. Joel liked men,
right.
And I appreciate that. I came from the modeling industry, but that's not the road I wanted to work, you know. So it took me 4 years to get my SAG card out here. But you just kept working, you know. You kept auditioning and doing smaller films. And the person that actually helped me get my SAG card, I was running security at the Comedy Store, and Sandy Shore, Mitzi's daughter, was very good friends with Tim Thomerson. And Tim was doing the Trancers series of films for Charles Band over at Full Moon Production. And Sandy reached out and asked Tim to ask Charles Band to at least audition me. And I auditioned, and I got the part of Shovel Man in Trancers 2. It was an acting stunt part, and I said, look, I won't charge any stunt adjustments. You know, just let me do the part, and whatever you need that day, I'm yours, okay? And I went and did it, and that was the day I got my SAG card. I played a character called Shovel Man. I was the first guy killed in the movie, I think. It was a lot of fun working with Tim Thomerson and Helen Hunt that day. And Charles was our director. They actually made a collector's baseball card out of me that is apparently available on eBay.
So, well, you know, I'm going to look for that because, you know, I made you a cool little collector's card as well. Mine
okay,
was better,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a good card. Yeah, that's for sure.
Rhino Michaels, our guest here on 89.1 Kens FM, and we got about 14 minutes here with the man here. One thing that I've always been curious about, when you you know, when you're on a when you're doing a shot for TV, you're maybe on the set for maybe a week or a couple of days, and when you're doing a movie, you may be on the set for I don't know, maybe 3 weeks or 4 weeks. What is the longest that you've ever been on set?
That would be Demolition Man. It was about 3 months. It didn't work every day, but for the characters, they had to book us for the whole film so that they know that you're available when they need you. Shooting schedules change sometimes, especially when you're on location. If you have bad weather, they may go to an indoor set, and all of a sudden, you know, they need you. So they book you for the full run of the picture. So Demolition Man would be the longest one I've ever worked on. That was about a 3 month shoot.
Now, have you ever had any, I'm sure you have, but have you ever injuries doing any stunts?
Cumulative stuff. I had my my lower back done, maybe 10 years ago. One of the first jobs I got out here in L.A., which really I learned, cut my teeth in the stunt world, was doing the live-action shows up at Universal Studios. I was the smuggler leader on the Miami Vice show. I was Claude Hopper, part of the Hopper gang that came in to take over the Wild Wild West show, and I was training to be the double swordsman in the Conan show. And the wonderful thing about that was you have to act, do a stunt, do action, and in cases where there's explosions getting off, get to where you're supposed to be to hit that safety switch so the explosion will get off. So when you get on a film set and they say, stand here, do that, and then we're going to cut. It's a piece of cake. I learned high falls. I learned jet skis, motorboats, jet boats, Wild West. We had to get certified weapon safe for we used 45s and sawed-off shotguns in that show, along with the horses. And yeah, so you start doing like a 10-foot, you know, face-off, they call it, or a header, and you gradually work your way up to the point where you're doing 40, 50. Well, I guess Miami Vice had the collapsing 50-caliber gun tower, which was the end of the show. I'd be up there shooting at the Miami Vice, and they'd shoot me, and I'd fall over dead as the gun tower collapsed and went into the water. I'd hit a big pad down behind the 55-gallon drums. As soon as I hit that pad, I had to blow myself sideways to a safety door, drop down another 3 feet. One hand would hold the safety door closed. The other hand would be on the safety switch so all of those big gas explosions could go off at the end of the show. That being said,
wow.
It's wet. It's a twisting, collapsing thing. Sometimes you don't go off 100% perfect. I'll be honest with you, back in the day, we would be out at night sometimes. I worked the security at the clubs. I'd be up to 2, 3 in the morning by the time you got home, and someone would call you to take their shift 3 hours later, and you might not have been in the best shape. But that's just the way it was back then. You got a call for work. You toughed it out. You went. So after probably about 1,000 to 1,500 high falls, I needed my lower back cleaned out a little bit. Otherwise, I've never been hurt on a film set. I've been clocked a few times by actors. Yeah.
It's always
fun doing a face with an actor. No, I don't think so. Just it happens. Heat of the moment, you move, you step in, someone leans in, someone leans out. One of my fondest memories was my second guest star role was on Renegade. And it was a scene where the show where Lorenzo's found out his partner from when he was a cop didn't really get blown up that day. He was the inside man for this big drug lord in Mexico. So him and Branscombe Richmond go down to Mexico to deal with this. And we have a fight scene in this Mexican bar. And the bar, the way it was set up, it was covered with dirt on the floor. So whenever you're doing fight scenes and cowboy boots, you know, dirt on the floor, it's a little slippery. And I ended up doing a tag team fight scene with Branscombe. And so Branscombe clocks me, and as I spin around, Lorenzo does one of his famous reverse spin heel kicks into my head. Now, normally, they call it John Wayne. The camera cannot tell depth of field. So if the camera was set behind Lorenzo, he could spin that foot past my face 3 feet away from me. You can't tell he didn't actually kick me in the head. It's my reaction that sells it, my timing that sells it. In a closed situation, a tag team fight scene, I was coming into a blind. He's been kicking into a blind. He clocked me 3 times, you know, right in the head with his reverse spinning heel kick. And, I have a little ice on my
painful.
Face. Yeah, well, you know, they don't call me Rhino for nothing. It's just the funny thing was I had to put an ice pack on my face because I had to do all my close-ups that afternoon. And my mom and dad, who had retired in San Diego, had come out to the set that day. And, of course, you can't show pain in front of your mother, you know, no matter how old you are. You're her little baby. So, yeah. Yes, yeah, so I've been clocked a few times, but no big deal.
Now, one of the – you know, you mentioned your, you know, your Screen Actors Guild card. Is there a possibility that once you get it, can you ever lose it?
Yeah, you can you can take an honorable withdrawal if you decide to stop acting. You can lose it for breaking some of the rules. It's pretty hard to lose it. You really got to be a real jerk. Maybe,
which
you
we know.
Know
you're not. You're a nice guy, so
no,
you'll probably
no, no,
have
no.
yours forever.
We did have a president recently lost his SAG card, but we won't talk about him.
Now, one of the questions I was going to ask you is, we were going to have you on, I believe it was, 3 months ago, and something happened with schedule, so we had to reschedule you.
I went out to stunt double Lou Ferrigno in his first horror film called The Hermit, and we're shooting in upstate New York. And we were starting to shoot day for night, which means you shoot a little bit in the day, you go into the night, and you would schedule the call for the night. I found out about the new schedule the day before, and I had to bail on that, so I apologize for that. But that's the film industry, you know. We had a lot of rain.
What I was going to ask.
Go ahead.
What I was going to ask is because what was it like working with the Incredible Hulk?
Oh, Lou. He's a dream. One of the nicest guys you ever want to meet. When he was on the set, I was really, really impressed with his commitment. He had decided he was going to stay in character all day. So he had his own little tent, and only the hair and the makeup woman could basically even talk to him. He had spent 4 months, maybe five, growing in the beard that you'll kind of see in the thing. They wigged him, gave him really long hair, and then they actually made the beard even larger. They kind of added it onto his beard. And it was just amazing to see how committed this man was to creating this character. I guarantee you that the Hermit is going to be a huge, huge, huge Halloween costume. And I'm not spilling any beans here, but if you want some Hermit jerky, it's going to be a big seller. But it's a horror film with heart, a really interesting twist on it. We're going back, I think, next week, the end of next week, to Syracuse to do some pickup shots, and then we'll do some more pickup shots probably out at the Disney Ranch or something like that, which will double for upstate New York, Syracuse. We're running into some weather issues up there. There was no snow when we were shooting, and there's a little bit of snow there now, so we'll see how that works out.
Well, I'll tell you, if you guys are looking for snow, we got plenty here that you can have.
Yeah, it's supposed to be summer. You know, kids are out there camping in the woods, and they happen to run into the wrong place at the wrong time, and some of them end up being made into jerky, you know? It's a really cool film. I really enjoy working with them. I'll say this. I took Lou, our stunt coordinator, Manny Perry, and Jerry Pass, our producer, towards the end of the first week, out to the York in Syracuse, the best steakhouse in town, just to say thank you. I treated them for dinner, drinks, whatever. And the owner, it was very interesting. All the people, even with the beard on, recognized Lou. And even though he's had 6 TV series and done 60 films, he's still the Hulk. Okay? Manny Perry was Mr. Everything back then, like Lou was. That's how Manny got into the business, as his stunt double, became a stunt coordinator, and they're very good friends. Everybody left us alone while we're eating. But as soon as we're done, the owner of the restaurant asked us to come over and take some photos in this little area they have for their Instagram or their Facebook posts. And we did photos with him, and then we did photos with the whole wait staff. And then just about everybody in the restaurant was coming up and asking for photos. We must have stayed there half an hour, 45 minutes. And Lou did not deny anyone a photo. He was just a sweetheart of a gentleman. And then the kicker was the next day he says he asked me to come work out with him and Manny, and then afterwards he wanted to treat us to a pedicure. And he took us to this place. It was the best pedicure I've ever had in my life. I think I posted a picture of me, the Hulk, and Manny Perry, 3 in a row, in our pedicure, getting our pedicures in this place. It was about 900 pounds of men sitting there getting their feet taken care of. It was just the sweetest thing. He's a great
guy.
That's
awesome. Rhino Michaels, our guest here. We got about 2 minutes here left with Rhino. And one other last question I'm going to ask you here. If someone wanted to become a stuntman, what advice would you give them to get involved?
Well, now there's, especially in places like Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia area, L.A., Florida, places where there's a lot of film work, there are a few pretty reputable stunt places. There's also a couple of Hollywood driving academies up at Willow Springs if you want to learn how to be a stunt car driver. There's a guy that is famous for crashing cars. He now has a car crashing facility where he'll teach you how to crash cars down in Texas. One of the things I think is a great way for people to get involved and get paid is the live action shows at Universal Studios, Disneyland, Knott's Berry Farms, Magic Mountain, those kind of places, because they have live action shows where they will take you and you'll be cast as a character and they will start teaching you how to stunt fight, how to do a high fall, how to do this, how to do that. I got so much of my training. I was an athlete, you know, growing up. I had a little martial arts and some fighting experience, but I learned just about the basics up at Universal Studios doing the Miami Vice show and then the Wild Wild West show. And all the people that you worked with there were actual either established stuntmen or up-and-coming stuntmen. And they would say, hey, Rhino, so-and-so's cast in this film. You should come over. Or they're having an open call. You should come over and get in the business that way. For every live show, they'll have 6 or 8 characters deep per character. So say they got 2 teams working, the A team and the B team, and someone in the A team gets a job, a SAG job. He'll call the number 3 guy on the list. Are you available to take my shift? If you are, you grab a shift, you go in. And he said, hey, you know, they're casting this thing. You should come out and take a look. Or I'm working on this film. Come out and hustle. And hustling is what they call it when you can just walk on a set, you know, usually location, and you talk to the stunt coordinator for a few minutes. I used to go down to the film permit office. For $2, you get a list of all the films being shot that day in L.A., and you look at the call time. If the call time is 6, you know 6 hours later they're breaking for lunch. So I'd get there at 11:30 on my motorcycle and find the stunt coordinator. And 99% of the time I'd say, hey, Rhino, we're breaking for lunch in 30 minutes. Why don't you hang out, catch some lunch with us, and we'll talk. So you had an hour to sit down with the stunt coordinator and break bread and meet some of the other guys or have the guy that told you about it that day introduce you and give you a referral. It's all about, you know, hustling, getting out there. Today it's a lot easier because it's all internet. You can do your reels, you can submit, you know, just by pushing a button. The old days you had to get on your motorcycle, your car, find out where they were, get out there, knock on the doors, track them down, and then just wait for someone to take you under the wing. I got my break on Beauty and the Beast. I was cast as the underground cave dweller. My first day on set, the first AD is literally screaming at somebody in front of him. He says, the hell with it, you're fired, get off my set, turns to walk away and walks straight into me. And I had the presence of mind to take my coffee and my bagel and stick my arms out to the left and right wide. So when he ran into me, I didn't ruin my wardrobe. He looked at me and he says, how tall are you? I said, 6'4". He said, that the color of your eyes blue? I said, yes, they are. He said, you ever done stand-in work before? I lied and said, yes, I have. He said, good, you're Ron Perlman's stand-in. From that job, being on the set, working with the director, the lighting people, watching the director and the actors work, I met Fred Lerner, who was the stunt coordinator. Mike Vendrell was the stunt double for The Beast at that point. And I was talking to Fred, and I said, I'd like to break into business, blah, blah, blah. Mike gets a job on a big film, takes off, and Fred turns to me and says, you think you'd take a 10-foot jump? I said, I'm an extreme skier. That's a piece of cake. And so my first day doing a stunt was as stunt doubling Ron Perlman as the Beast on Beauty and the Beast. I did about a 10-foot jump down in front of these 2 bad guys, and I disemboweled them. That's what Vinny used to do when he turned away from the camera and he did that thing with his hands. He was disemboweling the
that's
bad
awesome.
Guys.
And, well, I'll tell you what, Ron.
That started.
All right, Ron, you are awesome. We love you, man, and thank you for joining us tonight. We got about 30 seconds left of the show here. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule. We would love to have you on again, and I just can't say thank you for all you've done to help us out to be a guest tonight. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. I want to wish everybody out there a happy holiday, a joyous holiday, and please don't drink and drive.
There you go. Thanks, Rhino. All right. Rhino Michael, ladies and gentlemen. So next week, same time, same channel, every Monday night, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on 89.1 Ken's FM. Be checking out our Facebook page to find out who's on next week. We got another big show next week. Until then, care for each other, love each other. Be back here next week, and we will all see you then. Be safe. We love you. Till then.
You think you know me? The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard-to-recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.